Yes, a little over an hour ago, it was snowing in Greenville again. I came out of the expo, and here it was snowing. I mean, hey, all the more reason you need to head over to the Bon Secours Wellness Arena and watch the Day 2 weigh-in at the 2015 Bassmaster Classic. I tell you, the weather has really thrown the pro anglers a curveball. I rode around with Andy Montgomery during practice day on Wednesday. Then I was shotgunning with Skeet Reese yesterday during the Classic, which was really cool. Both days were cold. Yesterday it was just brutally cold. And I really have a new perspective for the non-glamour side of professional bass fishing. If you don't know, my name is Roger Metz, and I'd like to welcome you to a remote edition of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yes, I'm out at the weigh-in broadcasting live, so if you're anywhere in Greenville, you need to head this way right now. And look for me, 94.5 and I are set up to the left of the rotunda entrance, and I've got lots of goodies to give away. Joining me today, we're having a little technical issue. You got it? Anyway, joining me today is Geddes Brannon from the Anglers at USC, and he's tracking Bass Track right now. Geddes, what's it look like?
Looks like we got Mike Iaconelli in first place. Yesterday he had four good ones. I mean, he had four good fish, and it was difficult for him to get that fifth bite. But what's mattering here is the quality on this herring lake. It's hard to get a consistent bite of quality, and he's done it. He's out there fishing that new Ike's Custom Jig by Missile Baits. He's off in the brush piles, I believe, and he's got five today for 17.10 according to Bass Track, and he's in first place. In second place, we got a familiar name with Randy Howell. Looks like he's doing the same thing he did at Guntersville last year, almost identical. I mean, if we weren't on another lake and everybody knew it, we would think we were at Guntersville back in Spring Creek. But he's up on the riprap where he feels comfortable. He's throwing a Livingston Howler, I believe, and he's been catching them pretty good. He's got five for 16.11 today. In third, we have Dean Rojas, our leader from day one. He has 9 pounds today, a little bit lesser of a day for him. But, you know, like I said, on the herring lakes, it's hard to really get out there and get a consistent bag 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. In fourth place, we got a BAS Nation guy, Kobe Carden. He's got five for 18.2. Fifth, we have Brett Height, who's had a pretty good career on Lake Hartwell and FLW and BASS events in the past. He's moving on up the leaderboard with 11.13. And six, we got hometown favorite. And most people think, you know, he could come home with this big trophy at the end of the weekend. And we got Casey Ashley, the Coastal Pro, with five fish for 12 pounds. We got one of the Lane brothers at seventh place, and that is Bobby Lane. And he has five for 16.3. And then we got number eight, we got David Kilgore, and he has 5, 12 pounds, 8 ounces. Number nine, we got Paul Mueller. A lot of y'all remember him from last year. Came in with the biggest single day limit in Classic history, and he is in ninth place right now with 12 pounds, 8 ounces. And then we have a familiar face, Jacob Wheeler, who has had good success on the FLW Tour, went over to Bass Fest, ended up qualifying for the Classic here at Hartwell. And that's rounding out our top 10. He has 12 pounds, 10 ounces.
Very nice. Appreciate the input there. You know, if you're hanging around the house, look, bass fishing hardcore like we do here, or like these guys do, is not for everybody, and I understand that. But it's just a fun time. I mean, there go two kids right there with their little Yamaha fingers and all, and families together.
What a supportive community.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
it is.
You look out here and visit Anderson and visit Greenville. They put on a great show. They got everybody out here, and all the fans are coming in and getting some heat and coming in here and getting the lesser part of the fishing day, getting to see everybody weigh in. It's just a great place to be. It's a great arena. We know they're happy to be here, and BSS put on a fantastic tournament yet again.
Yeah, it's a good one. And so head out. Come on, we're just a little to the left. We're just a little to the left as you come in the main entrance. Can't miss us. We've got the 94.5 banner out front, the Woods and Water South Carolina thing up front, and we're here. I've got lots of goodies to give away. One more note, you know you can always listen to us on 94.5. They're on your radio dial, live online at conservativetalk945.com. Just click the Listen Live link on the right side of the page. We also have a free app for your phone, so you can listen in wherever you are. Take a look at the Woods and Water SC on Facebook at facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. Don't forget to hit the like button when you're there. Tag your pictures on Instagram at #WoodsandWaterSCRadio. And you can see more and listen to the weekly podcast on the website, which is woodsandwatersc.com. Won't take any calls today, but you know, hey. And there's no... Oh, you got something to say, Brandon? What you got?
Yes, sir. When we talk about social media and fishing and everything else, we'd like to go ahead and launch a hashtag whenever you tag Woods and Water South Carolina or Fishing Lake Hartwell, Fishing Lake Murray, Fishing Santee, whatever lake you're fishing. Let's go with the hashtag Fish South Carolina, Fish SC. Let's try to get some people in here and fish these great lakes that DNR and the state of South Carolina really takes care of.
And if you want to keep up with the classic, it's a real easy way to do it. They have a Bassmaster app for your phone, iPod, iPad, whatever. Download that. It's got the running blogs from the day. You can look at Bass Track, which Geddes was reading from a little bit earlier, which keeps track of who's who, who's caught what, and they're fairly accurate. I know yesterday when we were riding around with Skeet, we estimated we had 17 pounds, and when he actually weighed in, it was 20, so which wasn't too bad for, you know, being a little conservative on it.
But, explain how you do the Bass Track as a marshal or a blogger.
Okay. All right. To be a marshal, which is what I was a media marshal, which really meant nobody wanted me. The real marshals didn't like me, and the media guys thought I was a plant. So but what you do as a marshal, so you have to go to a class, and you have to sign off that you're going to uphold all the rules. And the rules are fairly strict, and they're – and I would say you – a guy you're with would really have to just do something bizarre to break one of those media martial rules. And they're not going to do that because they're fishing for $300,000 here. But what we did was is we had a class, and they have a Bass Track, and it looks like an iPhone. I actually had somebody call mine, but I couldn't tell you who it was. And I looked at the history. There's a couple more calls from strange numbers. So it must be telemarketers. But the Bass Track is real simple. You had an on-off button. There was a ring at the bottom of the screen. You scroll up the ring, and it gave you an option, add a fish.
Hey, and I guess part of the other options is Mr. Metz couldn't quite tell us what they were catching them on yesterday. I called him yesterday afternoon. I said, ooh, Skeet came in with them. What's he catching them on? He said, well, I can't tell you all that. But we'll see today. Skeet's currently in 11th place, according to Bass Track. He's only got two fish today for 5 pounds. Hopefully he'll come in and get a good late bite. The first flight should be checking in now, and then second flight should be soon to follow.
Yeah, and see, yesterday when Skeet and I were together, I was his good luck charm.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to get a call from Skeet tonight saying, I need you on my boat in the morning, and I'm ready, willing, and able to do it. But it gave you an option to add a fish. So if you hit add a fish, of course, you could log in how many pounds it was, how many ounces it was, and that was a tough call because he brought a couple of fish in, and I was like, Skeet, that's 5 pounds. And he said, oh, no. He said, that's 4 pounds. So I don't know. I'm sure he was being conservative, but I had him logged in at 17 pounds, and we had 20. But you put in how many pounds it was, how many ounces it was, and you hit. It gave you an option, which you really didn't, but kept. And the neat thing about it was is it scrolled up 5 fish, which is a limit. There's a penalty for that 6 fish in a live well, by the way, if you didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I know that now. So,
general, you know, they a lot of times, especially Bass Track, before they get up on stage, everybody's asking what you got, you know. In bass fishing, we try to shoot it under a little bit. That way we're not saying, oh, we got 20 pounds, and we come in with, you know, 14 or 15. That doesn't look too good. So.
Yeah. But, you know, we came in, and it scrolled up 5 fish, and then it would let you enter a 6th fish. You had the 6th fish, it automatically deducted the lowest fish on the tab. So yesterday, I think we started out with one that was 1.5 pounds, and then we had like a 2-pounder, and, oh, I don't know, maybe a 3.5, and then we had a 4 and a 4.5, and we had 17-something. And it's, well, we didn't. We had 12-something on 5 fish. When he caught that first 4-pounder, I entered it.
So it calls automatically?
It dumped the last one. So it showed 6 fish caught, but it showed the weight of the 5 keepers, which was really cool. But that was fun. I'm telling you, this weather, you would never have believed how many problems this cold weather caused.
Oh, man.
Yesterday at the ramp, were you at the ramp yesterday morning?
I didn't get to make it yesterday
morning.
Okay.
Well, weather-wise, they put it off about an hour, a little over an hour, simply because of the cold. And which was good because it was cold. I left my house, it was 10 degrees. Got to the ramp, and I got to the ramp at like 7:45 because the bus was late. And Skeet was already in the water, jumped on his boat. They were trying to load boats. The boats were frozen to the trailers. They couldn't get the boats off the trailers. They back them in, run the engine up, nothing. Boat's frozen to the trailer. They pull them out. Normally what you do when you have a stuck trailer, you go up the ramp a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong. You go up the ramp a little bit. You back down kind of hard, slam on brakes, the boat slides off in the water.
Usually it will. Usually it will. And like you said, with these treacherous conditions they had, I mean, even the National Weather Channel is down here doing some great coverage every morning out there. And it's gotten cold. A big name that won the Forestwood Cup a few years ago, Randall Tharp. Randall Tharp was out there. And or it might have been the Classic. No, it was a Cup. But Tharp was out there, and his camper froze up on him, so he didn't have any heat the last part of his night. He gets out there. I hear it took about 30 minutes for him to get his boat off the trailer. Finally gets to his first spot, puts down his trolling motor. His trolling motor cord's frozen. He has to take care of that. Then he runs to his next spot, and it's iced over. So, you know, it was real bad conditions for these guys, but it's nothing they can't handle. They're the best guys in the world. You know, they're out here and they're ready for it. They're eager to win that $300,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, normally you'd run that thing up and slam on the brakes and run it off the trailer, but they couldn't do that because when you slam on brakes with it iced up like that, you're going to put the boat and the truck in the water, not just the boat. So anyway, it was a zoo. I actually, Skeet Reese's steering froze up while we were there waiting to launch. It froze up in a left-hand turn. So we, so his steering froze up, and we had to work on the steering because we were going back and forth and we're only turning in half circles. So when we were turning in half circles, he looked at me and he goes, "Man," he goes, "we got problems." And so we're going to take a break here. We're going to have a guest on the other side. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We were talking a little bit about the weather and the problems. I mean, Skeet Reese's steering froze up. We couldn't turn the boat, so we couldn't get out of the ramp. Finally, we got it off. You wouldn't think about it, but ice on rod guides. I mean, it was just incredible all day long. I mean, up until we took off at 2:45 to come to check back in from the flight, there was nothing. There was ice on the guides all the way up. Ice on the guides all day long. When he would reel in, it would snow because what was on his line was freezing. And as it was coming through the guides, it was coming off and it was snowing on me. I told Skeet, I said, "Not only are you a professional fisherman, but now you're a weather maker." And we had a good time. It was really good. But I got Brent Chapman with me. Brent, I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of problem here. We can't really hear each other through the microphone, through our headsets. But welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina, first of all.
I appreciate it. It's great to be here with you.
I appreciate you coming out and doing this remote with us. I didn't have a whole lot of time to prep for you. So just tell me, I know you're from Oklahoma.
From Kansas.
Kansas.
Actually.
Oh, yep. See, I got it wrong already. It's
close
right
enough.
There on the front.
From Kansas. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been fishing the Bassmaster Elite Series now close to 20 years. I fished 13 Bassmasters Classic. I was here in 2008. 2012 was kind of an amazing season for me. Had just the most incredible season a guy could ask for.
Angler of the
topped
year.
It off with winning the Bassmaster Angler of the Year.
Wow.
So had a really good career. Came up a little bit short here in 2014, so I'm sitting out the 2015 Bassmasters Classic, but you know, that's not all bad. We've had a great time. It's been super cold, so if you're going to sit one out, this might not be all bad. It's been giving me an opportunity to be in the show, represent my sponsors, and met a lot of great people here in South Carolina.
Yeah, I tell you, this is the first Classic I've covered from this side. I was at High Rock in 98. I was at Lake Wylie. I was here in 2008
right.
when the water was 20 feet low or whatever.
Yeah, so water has definitely come up a lot.
Oh, it's up a lot. But and this one's the one I covered from the media sites, and it was the coldest one. And I said, there's two things I can do. I can punt and just sit in the studio and read about it, come to the expo and be nice, or just get it and dive in. And I did. I was out in it Wednesday, Friday, and just had a ball doing it. The weather. I mean, everybody is talking about the weather. How big is this, the cold, the long-term cold? I mean, when I talked to some of them, they really wanted snow. What is snow? Because they all wanted snow. They were like, if it snows, we're going to wear this lake out. What happens when it snows that makes the fish bite?
Well, you know, obviously fishing is all based on the weather, because what the fish do is all based around the weather and temperatures and water temperature. But, you know, if it's been cold or even if it's been warm, but there's something about it. When it snows, the fish bite like crazy. I don't know if it's some barometer thing or what, but the fish absolutely go crazy when it snows. So a lot of people shy away from it, but believe it or not, if you're on a body of water and you get the opportunity to fish in the snow, you need to get out there and try it, because the fish do. They bite like crazy. And I can think of many a tournaments over the years around the country. I mean, I remember fishing one up the road at Lake Murray.
Mm-hmm.
In March, it snowed. The fish bit like crazy. But one that really brings back some memories was an Elite Series up the road at Lake Norman.
Yes.
And it was snowing, and the fish bit like crazy. You'd think even these fish down south would be shut down, but they did. So snow is really a good time to go fishing.
But this cold like we've had, I know some guys are shallow water fishermen.
Yep.
I know some guys are ledge fishermen, offshore, so to speak, fishermen. They've got to mix those things in. They can't stick to just a shallow bite, because are there enough bites one way or the other to make the 25 and to win this Classic?
Well, it really is. You know, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of theories. It'll be one deep. Some will think it's one shallow, but it's really a culmination of taking the right talented angler that chooses the right bait, and then for the guy that gets out there and wins it. I mean, you know, everybody's thought that this classic was going to be one deep. I don't know what some of the guys up there at the top doing, but my good buddy Randy Howell, he's right up there at the top. And,
yes, sir.
You know, there is no secret. Everybody knows he's throwing the Team Livingston, the Howler crankbait, the same bait he won the Classic on. So it just shows you that when something new and unique comes out, something as unique as the Livingston line of baits with that EBS right. technology, that it's something that he's kind of opened a door to maybe fish that people thought were uncatchable.
Well, I was amazed how shallow we were fishing. I rode with Skeet yesterday, and how shallow, and it was a good shallow bite.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I would not have thought those fish would have been up like that. I thought they'd have been hunkered deep where that water had maintained that current.
Yeah,
that
that's a big, I think, misconception. A lot of people think a lot of times that just because it's cold, the fish are going to be deep. But, you know, the fish are going to be maybe one where the water temperatures are good, but two where the bait are. And, you know, if the bait tend to be shallow, there's going to be fish shallow. And there's one thing I've learned, you know, after 20 years of being out here, whether it's 110 degrees in the summer or conditions like we've had now, there's always fish to be found shallow.
How do you weed out water? I am not a very good bass fisherman because I get on a body of water and I look around and I go, where in the world do I start?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and it is. It can be very, very intimidating. And what I tell people to do is try to, you know, one of the biggest things we do in a practice period for 3 days or whatever let these guys do is eliminate water, especially a place like Hartwell. It can be overwhelming how big it is, and you could literally spend, you know, your whole time and spread yourself so thin just because you run up this particular creek, fish for an hour or two, and decide, well, it's not happening. Then you run to another creek, and that can really hurt you. The best thing I tell people to do is try to pick a particular cove or creek or section of the lake and really focus on that. I mean, when we came here last time, I had made up my mind I was going to spend my time down by the dam, and that's where I spent my time. And believe it or not, that's, if I remember right, Alton was fishing around me when he won the Classic. So I picked the right area of the lake to fish. So the best thing to do is pick a body or part of the body of water, break it down, and get as intimate as you can with that part of the of the fishery, and it's gonna, you know, you're gonna come out a lot better there than trying to run all around and spread yourself too thin.
Well, that's always been a problem with me. I just can't eliminate water and decide what is good water and what's bad water.
Exactly, that is. It's a tough thing to do.
Now you got a change today.
Yep.
It was not as cold, but now it's cloudy. It was spitting snow here in Greenville a little bit earlier. It's going to start out tomorrow raining, and I've heard as much as a half inch of rain. What, besides being all miserable again, I mean, it's not going to be the brutal cold we had yesterday.
Right.
But it's going to be that wet cold, and the water's going to get in one way or another. When your hands are raised, it's going to run down your wrist,
yeah,
or whatever,
oh yeah, yeah,
in your face. What's it going to be like tomorrow as far as the changing weather of the fish? Are these guys going to be going the same place they went today? Or are they going to have to change it up and go somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what it is. Bass fishing, fishing in general, you have to change with the conditions. And you know, these guys are all well prepared for the conditions. They've all got, you know, some of the best gear out there for staying warm and staying dry. So they should be good with that. But it is. The fish are always changing. I think the biggest thing is, you know, yesterday we had sunny skies, which helps position the fish. Cloudy skies like we've got now, you get that rain, and the fish are going to do different things. And obviously those guys that adapt and change with those fish are going to be the guys that come out on top.
Well, you said you've had fun at the expo, and I was over there a little bit. It's an absolute zoo with people trying to get in and all the stuff that's there. Where are you going to be at tomorrow?
You know, it's pure chaos over there, and it is. It's absolutely crazy, but I got to say, I've got a great list of sponsors, and, you know, we've been spreading ourselves amongst the sponsors of ours. We've been spending some time at Livingston Lures, Hook Gear, the new clothing line. We've been at Garmin. We've been at Triton, Mercury, Zippo Outdoors, Tightlines UV, and last but not least, Wright McGill as well. So, like I said, I've got a great list of sponsors, so I'm kind of jumping back and forth. If somebody wants to come there and find me, ask one of those sponsors. They should have a pretty good idea where I'm at. If not, go to my Facebook page as well at Brent Chapman Fishing, and you should be able to track us down there as well.
And that's someone I want to tell everybody out there that's listening. These guys love to talk. I mean, yeah, you see them up on stage, you see them on TV, and it can be intimidating to walk up to you. But every one of you guys I've ever met over the last year since I've been doing Woods and Water, South Carolina, you're so approachable, you're nice. The best thing is you know what you're talking about, and you don't mind taking what you know and talking to somebody like me.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Hopefully we know what we're talking about, but, you know, the reality of it is guys, we're just other fishermen, and, you know, when we get around other fishermen, we just like to tell stories and tell fish stories, and, I mean, I'm loving it at the expo to get to meet the fans and meet new fans, a lot of young fans, and, you know, if I can, you know, give somebody a piece of advice or even that, I've taken some advice from some people as well. So it's been a great opportunity for sure.
And your pick?
My pick, I'm cheering for my buddy Randy Howell, you know, since he's right up there at the top. Obviously, you know, Casey Ashley, he's you know, I kind of picked him from the beginning. But, you know, there's a lot of great anglers up there. And, you know, as Randy Howell proved it last year, throwing the Howler, he came from 10th place last year. So it just shows you anybody probably in that top 12 in all reality has a shot.
Very good. Well, Mr. Chapman, I appreciate you coming
Certainly.
By.
Certainly. I really appreciate it.
We'll look for you at the expo tomorrow.
Great.
And next year you'll be in this thing, right?
Absolutely. I think we're all about ready to see and excited to find out who's going to be crowned the champion, who's going to make it to the top 25 tomorrow.
It's an exciting time in there. Have a good time. I appreciate you stopping
by. It really
by.
Is.
I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Well, there you got it. That's Pro Brent Chapman, his take on Lake Hartwell this time of the year, what those guys are dealing with, the moves they're going to have to make tomorrow. And let me tell you what, fishing in the rain, it can be fun if it's 80 degrees, but when it's 40 and raining, it's going to be no fun. There's the music. Stick with us through the break. Going to have another guest on the show. And like I said, head out here to the Bon Secours Arena. It's going to be a good time. We'll see you on the other side. And we're back on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope that first 30 minutes was okay. I know We had some problems here with the headphones and couldn't really hear ourselves, but we did the best we could. Appreciate you hanging with us. There's a lot of people out here at the weigh-in. You need to come out. It's going to be a good time. And I got another guest on the, with me here, Mr. Terry Scroggins, Big Show Scroggins. I appreciate you coming on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, what's up? It's good to be here.
But you're not fishing.
No, this is the first classic in 10 years I've missed, and it really sucks. I'm just going to tell you, it's terrible not to be in it. You got to be in it to win it, and I'm sitting on the sidelines watching it unfold.
And that's got to be tough.
It is tough. You know, I've made it for 10 years, and for a decade, you just get used to being here, get used to being a part of the show, and when you're not a part of the show, it just don't feel right.
But like my former guest was telling us, if you're going to miss one, as far as the weather, I know it's tough. This would be one to sit on the sidelines.
This is probably the coldest Bassmaster Classic to ever go down in history. 9 degrees, that's cold.
I was,
you know,
there.
What the wind chill factor at 9 degrees, 70 miles an hour is?
It's about 25 below.
You're almost right. It's okay. 20 below zero.
20 below zero. And I did that calculation because I was trying to figure out how many layers of clothes to wear yesterday. And I typed that in, 65, 70 miles an hour, 9 degrees. And it's, you don't even want to think about it.
Well, you know, these anglers have all the latest and greatest cold weather gear. They're strapping icy hot packs on their midsections, keeping them warm. They've got these good boots on, Polar Tech on, layered up. They're not cold. But, you know, when it comes to fishing, it becomes a mind game.
Okay.
You know, and when those guides are icing up on those rods, those reels are icing up, it becomes frustrating. It's all mental.
I saw it yesterday. I was with Skeet Reach yesterday. And from the first cast to the last cast at 245, ice on the guides every cast. I mean, I think I coined it the ice dip, because about every third one, he'd dip down on the deck and stick his whole rod and reel in the water.
You know, and most of these anglers, when they're finesse fishing with spinner rods, most everything is done nowadays with braided line with a fluorocarbon leader. Well, braid ices up quicker than monofilament or fluorocarbon, so they had to make adjustments there as well.
Because I noticed every rod he was throwing had fluorocarbon on it, and I wondered why he wasn't using any braid, and that's why.
That's the reason why.
My goodness, you learn something new every day. Lake Harwell, you had much luck on it?
You know, at the 2008 Bassmaster Classic, I was either third or fourth going in, you know, coming in the first day, and had a really good day. I caught those fish suspended 40 feet over 60 feet, caught them drop-shotting, and it's a typical spotted bass deal. They just got up and left that night, and I didn't catch them the next 2 days, but I had a really fun first day.
Yeah.
This lake is full of fish, full of big spotted bass, got a lot of good largemouth in it, and it's a great fishery.
I'm at a loss because I couldn't tell you if it was a good fish. I get out there and I just, all the shoreline and all, and I want to throw to this and I want to throw to that. And I'm like, but those are amplified 100 times on this lake.
It's got, everything in this lake looks alike, but it's got tons and tons of brush piles in it. A lot of docks, a lot of brush, a lot of riprap, a lot of standing timber.
Yep.
It's got everything that you want. And it's a blueback lake. And these fish just roam around. That's what makes it tough sometimes on blueback lakes. They'll roam around and chase bait. And sometimes you think you got them dialed in, go back the next day, and they are totally gone.
Tell me a little bit about the electronics we've got on these boats. Because you've got a screen here that's got a split, and you've got side view here, and you've got one that's telling you water temperature, and one that's showing you the traditional archers. And that was just from the co-pilot seat, what I was seeing yesterday.
Yes, on my boat, I actually run Hummingbird, and I got the Hummingbird Onyxes. And I've got 4 units on my boat.
2 back, 2 front.
2 in the back, 2 on the front. Okay. I got 2 10-inch units on the back, 2 8-inch units on the front. And the reason I do that is I run a full map system in the dash.
Okay.
And then on the side, I can run 2D7R, down scan, and side imaging right there. I never have to hit a button. I can see my full map. I can see side imaging, down imaging, and full 2D sonar. So then on the front, I got 360 imaging, so I can see what's happening all the way around the boat at all times.
All the way around
the boat. All the way around the boat at all times. And then in the dash, I have a mapping system, a mapping system with 2D sonar and down imaging as well up there.
All that's good and all, and you can see them, but you still can't make those fish bite, can you?
Sometimes you can't make them bite. And that's the frustrating part. At least you know they're there.
They're there, yes.
You're not fishing water that you don't know they're not there.
Right.
So that's why, you know, you see these fishermen get so good these last 7 or 8 years, and it's due a lot to electronics. Trusting those electronics, knowing they're there, and it just pinpoints the fish. It makes it a lot quicker finding them. and saving where you go back and catch them.
So what are you doing at the expo? You just roaming?
Man, I've been
all
hanging out. I've been going everywhere. You know, I've been hanging out at the Toyota booth, the Triton booth, the Yamaha booth, Booyah Yum, just floating around everywhere.
Right.
High Seas, Lewes, Duckett, the Lear booth, the Carhartt booth. They've got everything. If when it comes to fishing, when it comes to the outdoors, they have got everything at the outdoor show this week.
I was amazed. I was over there for just a couple hours this morning, and the lines of people going in there. I actually jumped into a parking lot and walked in. There is more stuff over there than you will ever be able to look at.
It would take you two days to go around there and see everything that's in there. It's crazy. Just crazy.
What kind of boat do you run?
I run a Triton TRX 21.
I saw Earl Bentz last night.
Earl Bentz is there.
Yeah, and, Earl's here.
Everybody comes out to meet Mr. Earl.
Yeah.
Great guy. Been with him since I started my career 14 years ago. I've been with Mr. Earl for 14 years.
You know, he's from Charleston.
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know that until last night. He's a South Carolina boy.
He's been in Tennessee for quite some years, quite so many years. But, he actually comes from Charleston.
It's amazing. You got that kind of innovative thought to a boat like a Triton.
Yeah, it's awesome.
2008, water was really low. 2015, it's up a lot more. Does that make it harder to fish because the fish are spread out, or does that make it easier because there's more places to go? You're not all concentrated in one little area like y'all were down at the dam.
You know, back in 2008, I believe the lake was actually 17 feet low.
Yes, it was low.
And it was a totally different lake then. And since then, the water actually got up real high. A lot of weed growth around the banks. You had some really good spawns in this lake, and it's really made this lake excel. It's really come on good. And that's, you know, this lake is on fire right now. It might not have showed it yesterday because of the extreme weather conditions we had, but it is really, really good. And it was due to the high water conditions. Now since then, it's come back down a little bit, but they've had three or four good years of really good spawns.
Good. Well, look, I know you got other places to go. I really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I see you out there tomorrow. I'll be sure to come over and talk a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And y'all go out. Guys like this are out there at the expo. They want to talk to you. They want to listen to what you got to say, and they want to help you be a better bass fisherman. I encourage y'all to go out there and meet these guys. I mean, this is unreal being back here talking to some of these guys.
All of us will be at the expo tomorrow. The guys that don't make the cut in this classic will also be there tomorrow. Come out. It's a lot of fun. We just came out, hang out, talk fishing, do whatever you want to do. It's just a great time.
Oh, look, I appreciate it. Next year, you're going to be in this, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, I missed it this year for the first time in 10 years. I hope it's another 10 years before I miss another one.
I wonder what Kevin Van Dam, after 25 years,
25
what it's like
years,
for
that's
him.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Unreal. Look, have a good rest of the stay in Greenville, South Carolina.
Thank you, man.
And hope it warms up before you leave so you don't walk away going, I'm never going back there again.
Well, I wasn't in the classic here, but it's still been a lot of fun. There's a lot of great people in Greenville. I've enjoyed my time being here.
Okay. We'll get to your next thing. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, man.
I look forward to seeing you later.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Mr. Terry Scroggins giving you his take on the classic. Geddes has been poking his head into the arena. What's going on inside the arena?
They got the high school classic going on, presented by Costa. It's a neat deal. What they're doing is they have a few high school teams from across the state that are coming in, and they're coming to weigh in before the big stage. So they're getting to live their dreams already, and man, I tell you what, I'm excited to be out there tomorrow for the College Classic, and hopefully we'll go get some.
Well, there's the music. Hang on, we'll be back on the other side for the last segment of today's show. Never you come around. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are live at the Bon Secours Arena for the day two weigh-in of the Bassmasters Classic. Today is cut day. You've had 56 guys out there fishing up till today. There's going to be a few disappointed ones tonight after the weigh-in. I wouldn't want to be doing this tomorrow and interviewing some of those guys because they're not going to be in the best of moods. And, you know, you're talking the Super Bowl of bass fishing. And you're not going to make the final day. That's got to be crushing. Geddes, you've been there. You haven't made the big show before. And that's just in college. So come on out. It's a great time. Lots of people roaming around. I can smell some pretty good food. You know, they always got food, good food at these places. And we got kind of a treat here. If you know me and know much about me, I'm a fly guy. I love to fly fish. I guess in a progression from growing up fishing a farm pond, bass and brim, my granddaddy, who I fished with growing up, his brother, my uncle, was a fly fisherman. And I have a couple of his old fly rods. Old, I don't know what kind of fiberglass or whatever. They're ancient rods and reels. And that got me kind of interested. I bass fished a little bit with him when I was a kid, kind of got away from it, went into bass fishing real heavy. The 21-foot bass boats, 80 miles an hour and all that. About 15 years ago, started saltwater fishing. Shallow water tarpon, snook, all that down in the Everglades, through Florida, Texas and all.
Love it.
Fell in love with that. And I guess in maybe a maturing sportsmanship thing, I picked up fly fishing again. And I am just thrilled to have one of the guys from GeoBass.
Hey, it's great to be here. My name's Brian Gill, one of the guys from GeoBass. We got a crew of four. We're partnered up with Costa Del Mar. We're traveling around the world trying to catch any kind of fish, any kind of bass fish that's out there, any kind of type of bass around the world.
How many types of bass are there around the world?
Well, pretty much if it has bass in the name, we're going after it. So it doesn't have to be specifically related to like a largemouth or smallmouth or anything like that. So we're always trying to find, you know, different types of species. So maybe you know of some that we haven't heard of before.
I don't.
Some pretty exotic ones so far.
Largemouth and spots.
Yeah.
Smallmouths. Uh-huh. Some of the ones that I've caught on fly. So
sure.
Y'all have done that, I'm sure,
yeah,
by
we've
now.
Done that. We've done peacock bass.
Yeah. That was the
Amazon
movie they were showing at the Costa last night.
That's right.
Peacocks.
Yeah. That was our debut for season two.
Okay.
We went down to Brazil, went after peacocks. Ended up getting a really nice one. It was a tough trip. We had high water. But I still managed to get an 18-pounder at the end of the day. So.
I saw that fish.
Yeah.
That's a big fish.
That was a fish of a lifetime for me.
Because
unreal.
Up to then, y'all were catching the little 2-3-pounders,
yeah,
which are fun, but that's,
yeah,
not what you go to Brazil for.
Exactly, yeah.
You go for the big ones.
That's right. So, and there's a lot of other exotic species that we've gone for, like Papua New Guinea black bass. I don't know if you've seen that before.
No, I haven't gotten that one yet.
They get over 50 pounds. They're just tackle destroyers. I mean, we busted so many rods when we were over there, countless rods. Equipment destroyers, pretty much. So they're amazing fish.
And for those of you who don't fly fish, I mean, you are using essentially, 90, 100, 110 feet of what you call fly line.
You're right.
You got a few, I'm sure, on a 50-pound fish, you're using, 75-pound,
yeah,
tippet or something?
Yeah, we were fishing, 80 to 100-pound,
yeah,
tippet, and we're casting 16-weight rods, which is essentially like waving a pool cue around in the air all day
right.
long. You know?
That's right.
It destroys your arm.
It does.
Yeah.
Your shoulders know it at night that you've been throwing something that big all day long.
For sure.
How much backing do you have on a 16 weight?
Oh, man. We didn't even get into our backing because it's such a short fight. You're pulling these fish out of the structure. So, I mean, we still had probably about 300 yards of backing on just to give us a little extra diameter for the retrieve.
For the retrieve, yeah.
Yeah, to speed up the retrieve a little bit. But it was a pretty in tight, just grudge match. You know, when you hook one of these fish, they want to turn and go into the structure, and all you can do is just put the brakes on them and try to stop them.
It's not that they have a lot of places to run.
Yeah.
They just want to break you off.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw out a name here that you're probably going to know.
Uh-huh.
Scotty Davis. You know Scotty from Low Country Fly?
Yeah.
I was out there with Tad last night.
Oh,
he was talking about Scotty and all. Scotty's a sponsor of Woods and Water South Carolina.
Oh, cool.
Low Country Fly Shop is.
Yeah.
Great guy. And if you're in the Lowcountry, South Carolina, and you want to go fly fishing for redfish, Scotty Davis is the guy you need to go to. He is just heads up one of the best guys down there.
Nice.
Well, you got Brazil. Where are we going next?
We're going down to Guyana. We're going to be going after peacock bass again. And there's also a few other species that we may try to hook up with, too. They got the Arapaima, Payara. I mean, it's the Amazon. Yeah, they got hundreds and hundreds of different fish species. So who knows what else we're going to get down there.
I got to ask you, what kind of shots do you have to get to do all this stuff? immunization-wise, everything.
They just give you pretty much a cocktail, you know, to inject in your arm. You know, we always bring malaria pills and stuff with us where we go. A lot of the places we go are tropical in those malaria zones, and, you know, we get yellow fever. You got to have all your tetanus and everything up to date and stuff. But.
Has anybody from GeoBass gotten really, really sick yet?
Yeah.
Y'all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It happens, yeah. Actually, Jay, who's standing right over here near me, he got a tropical disease called leishmaniasis. It's a nasty, nasty disease, and I think he's over it now. I don't know. Yeah, hopefully you are. Yeah, it was pretty bad. You get it from sandflies and places we were fishing were just loaded with sandflies.
Whose idea was it to go across the world fishing for bass?
Kind of partially Costa's, partially ours. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. We hadn't really heard of it being done before,
right.
So we wanted to try and do something different. And we are already traveling the world trying to catch fish with our series previous to GeoBass called GeoFish.
Right.
You know, where we started in Portland, Oregon, we converted a diesel truck to run vegetable oil, and we drove all the way down pretty much to the bottom of South America, just catching every fish we could on the way. And, you know, none of us really have a big bass background.
Right.
So it's kind of just been a learning experience for us going along, you know, from here on out. It's just everywhere we go, we're learning something new and trying to talk with some of the bass pros, trying to pick their brain, ultimately trying to get them to come on some of the trips with us, too, which would be pretty neat.
Last night when we were watching your show over at the Costa Party, you were going into a river, but you had to ask permission from the villagers.
Yeah, that happens
to fish.
A lot.
I was going to say, what's your interaction with the local populations when you go into these remote areas?
Well, a lot of these areas we go into, I mean, they're sensitive to a sense where, like, the local people own the area. You have to ask permission to go into some of these places because there's local villages that survive on these rivers. I mean, they depend on the fish that are in these rivers, and they feed their families and everything, and they can't just have anybody coming in there. You know, they're keeping tabs on who's fishing their water and who's in their area, basically. So you got to ask permission, make sure everything's cool before you go into any of these spots.
Do they comprehend catch and release?
Not so much. Not a lot of the places we go to. I think it's becoming a little bit more aware of some of the places that we go, you know, with sport fishing and a lot of anglers traveling around the world wanting to go to some of these places, and they see the value in the fish in the water more so than out of the water, you know, on a bigger plate, where it can help bring in revenue, you know, for their local economy.
I didn't recognize your reel. What fly reels are y'all using on this?
We're using loop reels, loop rods. Yeah, we've been with those guys for a while. Their equipment is awesome. I mean, we beat our stuff up, and it's still working great for us. So, I mean, we're going to keep on rocking the loop stuff.
Okay, so you got this year, you were just in South America, and you're going to Guyana next.
Go back to South America.
To South America.
Yeah.
Where after that? Where do you see yourselves going?
Yeah, we've got our production schedule for the entire year set up. We've got 6 episodes that we're doing. So Brazil is the first in season 2. That's released. We're going to Guyana. Then after Guyana, we're going to Texas. We're going to go fish in Texas. Yeah, this is actually the first U.S. destination that we've shot. So it's kind of cool. And then from there, we're going to be going to Solomon Sea.
Okay.
Yep. They have a species called a red bass we're going to be going for.
Okay.
I guess we're fishing shallow reefs for those fish.
Okay.
And then we are going to be coming back. Then eventually we go back to Papua New Guinea. There's one location that's to be determined, which we're still trying to get on the schedule. And then at the very end of the year, we're going to have a return trip to Papua New Guinea for the black bass. And that's kind of like a revenge trip because we got our butts kicked on the first time around.
I know you've got a lot of rods and reels, but I cannot imagine how many tying vices.
Yeah, materials.
Materials.
Yeah.
And what's the process for figuring out what these fish want to eat?
It's trial and error, man. I mean, we go there loaded up with materials, and we just keep trying stuff until it starts working, really. And talking with the locals and the people that fish for these fish in that area, kind of getting an idea of how they fish for them.
Right.
And then trying to piece it all together. It's kind of a big puzzle. You eventually put it together, hopefully, and make the most of it.
The glamorous life of a fly fisherman.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we make all of our own stuff, you know.
Yeah.
On the boat, while we're out in the boat, we're making lures, we're making flies. Back in camp, you know, we're just preparing for the next day. And we're our own film crew. You know, we shoot everything on our own.
Right.
We're the anglers. We're the film crew. And for everyone out there that wants to follow, you know, go to CostaDelMar.com/GeoBass. They have all the episodes on there, free to watch. Costa's YouTube channel, and they have everything on there. So that's the place where everyone needs to go.
Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Motive Fishing is our company.
Motive Fishing.
Both of those Facebook pages, you'll be able to follow in the adventure.
Okay. How cool is that?
It's really a dream job. I mean, we don't take it for granted. We know that we're very fortunate to be able to travel around and work with such an amazing company such as Costa.
Now, there's two or three of you that are fishing. How many guys are fishing? I was trying to remember.
There's four total in the crew, and we typically will take turns.
Okay.
There'll be two guys on one boat, two guys on another boat, and it just depends how we mix it up. Sometimes we have a film boat. Usually we're just filming from the boat with the angler, and we split up just to try to be efficient and catch as many fish.
So you got four guys fishing. How many guys are back cooking and all of that stuff? What's the support crew like?
Yeah, it really depends.
Especially in the backcountry, in South America.
Yeah, down in the jungle. I mean, you do need a big support team to keep you moving. In Colombia, we went and fished in some very remote locations. We had this massive, 30-foot-long canoe that was our supply boat, and we had 8 different fishing boats, and we pretty much employed the small village that we flew into. I mean, everybody that was there, we pretty much hired, and they came along for the trip. It was pretty amazing. And we had to, portage our boats past waterfalls, and we were, cutting sticks for rollers to put underneath the boats and dragging them, 100 yards. It was pretty wild. I mean, one of the furthest trips that we've gone out there, for sure.
Well, there you got it. Firsthand, GeoBass, Motive Fishing. That's MOTIV Fishing. You can follow them at Costa Del Mar, geobass.com, Facebook.
Yeah, check it out. There's a lot more to come.
Are y'all going to cut Tad's hair at some point?
I don't know. He's going to have to be sleeping or sedated or something. I don't think he's going to let us.
Who's afraid of bugs and critters and snakes? Because they totally stuck somebody's bed with all sorts of little stuff.
That was Chris, Yeah, we played a practical joke on Chris. Dad brought down a bunch of, big bugs and snakes and stuff, and we stashed it all around the room and stuff, and it scared him quite a few times on the trip. We got it on film. It was pretty funny.
You know what they say about payback?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be fat.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on, being on Woods and Water South
Thank
Carolina.
Thank you so much, man.
You guys call me sometime.
I'd love to.
Just from wherever. Just call me.
Hey, I live down in Tampa. You like saltwater fishing, man. I'm a guide down there if you ever want to come down there and fish.
Hey, it sounds like a trip. The problem is there's three females at home that kind of limit.
I understand.
How much I get to do. But yeah, anyway, and this and everything. But look, you got my card. Give me a call sometime.
I will, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so
much.
Have
fun. Roger. What's it like being here?
It's a trip, man. It is a trip. I mean, this is my second Bassmaster, and I'm still just, overwhelmed with the amount of energy and the people that are here. So, yeah, it's a good time. If you haven't been to a Bassmaster, you can come check it out.
There you go. Look, y'all be careful when you travel.
All right, thanks much.
Stay safe. Catch a lot of fish.
Hey, that's
lots cool. of pictures.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
I'm gonna try.
Good. I appreciate you being here. Check them out, GeoBass, Motive Fishing, and Costa Del Mar. Great sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, the best. So.
All right, appreciate it. Hey, what a show for a first live remote from the Bassmasters Classic weigh-in, Bon Secours. This is day 2, cut day. I don't know if they've got anybody. Geddes, do they have anybody in there yet?
Nobody's up there yet, but 25 is the magic number. They got to make it in the top 25. We got a couple local guys, Casey Ashley, Andy Montgomery, our two South Carolina pros here. It's looking like Andy on Bass Track had a tough day. Hopefully it's wrong. Maybe he's out of cell phone signal. Hopefully he'll come in and get in that top 25 range. But, man, we're here. We're talking about the Bassmaster Classic. And I got to tell you, I was about to jump out of my seat over here trying to get over here to hear what Mr. Met's prediction was on who's going to win.
I have no prediction, because as soon as I predict who's going to win, they will lose. So I really don't make.
You don't want them coming after you.
I don't want them coming at me, because I know I'm a known enemy when I predict stuff. I tell you, simply because I rode with Andy and then rode with Skeet, I'd love to see one of those two win. Mm-hmm.
Both great guys.
Simply because I was with them, talked to them. You know, Andy's from Blacksburg.
Oh yeah.
You're from Gaffney. I'm from Chester. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's like getting in the boat with your brother or your neighbor or something, because you think so much alike. Like had a really good time. You know, Skeet being from California was kind of that was off the wall. But you know, I saw Skeet in '98 at High Rock and kept up with him a little bit. So I don't know. One of those two would just sit me fine.
And you know, and even if these guys don't make the cut today, Big Show said, like Brent Chapman said, they're going to be at the Expo tomorrow. All these guys are a bunch of good old boys that want to get out there and get to meet bass fishing fans, want to meet the guys that are out here coming to support Greenville and Lake Hartwell. I appreciate you having me on the air today.
I appreciate you being here, guys.
College Classics tomorrow. We weigh in before the Bassmaster Classic, so hopefully we'll have a show for y'all.
Be there early. All right. Well, hey, good show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Come out of the Classic. You won't regret it. You know, the weather's cold. Bundle up. Get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Make these events when you can, because they only come around once about every 7 or 8 years. Get out there. Don't forget the camera. I'll talk to you again next week.
Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind as I'm gone to